This is College Crosscast. I'm Ryan McDonald.
I'm Jake Mazar.
Hey, folks, how you doing? This is Erie Barrister.
And we have a lot to recap this week. Another very interesting weekend of early season college lacrosse action. And it's worth pointing out that VMI has more wins than Johns Hopkins at the moment. Only facts.
It's the truth. I mean, you can't do anything about the truth.
Yeah. We are recording this on President's Day. We will not get into any terrible attempt at a viral discussion on presidents in lacrosse, so we'll hold off on that. But hope everyone had a nice holiday weekend.
Does that really count as a holiday weekend?
Sort of. I mean, you had the Daytona 500 and NBA All-Star Game. And Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, I don't know if it qualifies as a holiday weekend when everyone went to work.
I don't know about that one. Well, either way, we had a lot of lacrosse to talk about, and that's what we'll dive into right now, first and foremost. So we'll recap this past week's games. A little later, we'll get you set for the Tuesday night games in between episodes. So let's start off with Friday night's games. Start off with Towson following up their big victory against Johns Hopkins with a 12-7 victory over Mount St. Mary's. So Towson moves up to 2-0 on that one. Lafayette beats Wagner 13-10. So the Leopards move up to 2-1 with that victory. This one, good one in Charlottesville. We'll get more.
Did you watch this game?
No.
This game was horrible.
Well, it was on. Well, okay. So it was a game. A good in. Not that great indicator for one team, and a good indicator that it's not. The other team's not as good. Whatever. Virginia 11, Lehigh 8. The Hoos get a victory there, but we'll get
3 minutes
Hoos
into the
later.
Podcast, and you've already butchered something. Good lord, this game was horrible. I said I wasn't going to watch Lehigh. I ended up watching them, and it was a mistake. Horrible.
Do you want to just finish the scores, and then we'll get into it?
Yeah, that sounds good. Actual good one was Marquette heading down to Florida and beating Jacksonville 14-12. So the Golden Eagles get their season kick-started with a second victory on the year. They're up to 2-0 for Amplo and the Eagles. And then in a Maryland duel, Navy beats UMBC 11-6. Navy, of course, up ahead. Will have a big game against Maryland this upcoming weekend. But a good good game for the midshipmen as they move to 2-0.
I just want to talk a little bit about the Towson Mount St. Mary's game. Yeah, the Mount wasn't as impressive an opponent as Hopkins was for Towson, but you know, this is just like, this is, seems like 2017 Towson ball. Like, they just take care of what they got to do. They don't need to drop 20 on you, even though they can against Hopkins. This was a very workmanlike performance, but they still had a great performance by Brody McLean with 5 goals, and Luke Froman had a hat trick. You know, the Towson is rightfully ranked in the top 10, and I really look forward to their game against Georgetown next weekend. I think that's going to be one of the best games of the weekend. And these are obviously college kids, so we don't want to dunk on them. But yeah, you're kind of right that UVA Lehigh game didn't have that luster that we kind of predicted at the beginning of the season. Lehigh, a lot of guys were out. UVA was down at halftime at home. Like, you know, maybe, you know, we'll talk about High Point later. But yeah, no, this was, and they moved the game from Saturday. So the whole, you know, whole thing was weird. But yeah, that wasn't that great of a game. Klockner.
There were 35 turnovers in this game. Mm. Lehigh blew 7 clears. Lehigh had 8 goals and 7 blown clears. I mean, I don't know what, you know. Again, yeah, I don't want to be mean, but I mean, this game was just, it was a, I mean, Lehigh so far is the first team I've seen that just really seems to struggle with the shot clock. I mean, it just really, their clearing was just, I mean, it was a mess. And then when they were running the offensive sets, it just, they really just struggled. I mean, they scored 3 of their goals were at man up, so they only scored 4 goals at evens. Or 5, sorry, they had 8 goals. So 5 at evens, which was not great. It's just a bad game. I mean, UVA should have won by more if they were more disciplined, but I don't know, as we've seen with Virginia, you know, last year, and you know, we'll talk about later, discipline, both in terms of, you know, taking care of the ball and committing penalties, is a problem for Virginia.
Move on to Saturday's...
Also, like, I want to mention this, because, like, I do not want to crap on our esteemed colleague, Chris, but Chris continues to say that UMBC is, like, a good team, you know, like, he's mentioned this a couple times, and it's like... Yeah, man, like, they were 5-8 last year. Lost to Navy by 5. I'm just wondering where he's coming from with this. Because, I don't really see it. I mean, good effort by Navy, you know. Then the Maryland this weekend should be a good game. Annapolis. Not really sure where Chris is coming from with the UMBC thing.
Moving on to...
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. No, I just it was a really good game by Navy in terms of, like, just getting it done. I guess the allure for UMBC is their defense, and, you know, they did have that nice win against Albany last year. But
it's a good defense, but they scored 7 goals per game last year, and they scored 6 in week 1. That offense is just not good. It's wrong. But, I mean... I like Navy. To me, so far, is the most obviously improved group of players. Like, on that offensive side, the most, like, those guys have obviously improved a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the big thing I've seen. Like, it's just a group of guys. Like, you know, Christian Daniels got 7 goals and 3 assists as a sophomore. You know, he had 31 points last year, so he's a third of his way to his point total last year through 3 games. You know, Grayson Terrain had 19 goals a year ago. He's at 5 so far. You know, Ryan Wade, a senior, he's got 9 points. Got 33 points last year. I mean, that group of players really looks quite improved. And they give teams fits with the ride. I mean, I think they got 1 or 2 goals off of, you know, forcing a turnover on the ride on UMBC. They did to Vermont as well. So that, again, the group of players really, I think, as I've seen, one of the most obvious in group groups. But that ride gave UMBC a lot of problems, and that's a weapon for them.
And on to Saturday's slate of games. We'll start off with the early slate. Cleveland State with a 17-8 victory over Bellarmine. So the Vikings rack up their first win of the season after some close losses against Ohio State and Michigan. So they get on the winning ways there with a nice victory over Bellarmine. Duke beats Denver 10-9 in a back-and-forth affair in Durham. The Blue Devils with a late goal. Denver came back to tie it, but then Duke with 6.9 seconds left. Manown with the victory off the face-off. Joey Manown gets the goal to give the Blue Devils the victory and the big win that they needed after their loss to High Point. And touchdown, John Nanowski gets the better of Billy T in their regular season matchup this year. We'll just go over a couple other quick games before we dive into that Pio's Devils game. Sacred Heart beats Furman 18-11 in Philadelphia. Sacred Heart, that is their first win of the season after their close loss to Georgetown. BU beats Dartmouth 15-8. That game featured a dearth of goals out of Chris Gray, who got 9 points on the day. 5 goals as well for Timmy Lay, So a good offensive performance for the Terriers in the road in a Rhode Island matchup.
Featured a dearth of goals? Isn't
Darth.
That
Darth? Oh, no, I'm using bad SAT words.
Dearth is like there's a lack.
Sorry.
There's a lack. Like, he scored, like...
Variety of offensive goals. I'm sorry. I used
wrong
SAT.
Oh, God, Ryan. Good Lord.
Man, if only my upset special went through, because then Jake would have been nice to me.
I don't know. It would have been really hard with the way you started.
In the Rhode Island, in a Rhode Island derby, Bryant beats Providence 11-8. And High Point started their good holiday weekend with a victory over Drexel in overtime, 15-14. They come away with the victory there to keep their undefeated season alive. Spoiler alert, that continued. And Georgetown with a good win against Robert Morris, 14-11 victory for the Hoyas. There was a stretch where they were not able to stop a Bobby Moe run, but in the end they were able to fight back and get the victory there.
That Denver-Duke game, I mean, they really did look like Denver was going to pull it out. Yes, Duke won last year, but I think the Pios had won the four previous meetings. And they would have kind of the ending that Duke had this game. Like, game would be kind of close, and then Denver would make a third quarter, fourth quarter run, kind of separate themselves from the Blue Devils and pull away with a kind of a pretty comfortable win. This year, I mean, Joe Robertson, I mean, just absolutely exploding with three goals. He already had one in the game, but three goals in the fourth quarter when Denver had, you know, a pretty, you know, Denver's up 7-4 with 12:59. That's usually a wrap, you know, back in the Trevor Baptiste days. Again, I'm not just saying they had a great day at faceoff, so I'm not saying, like, the loss of Trevor's the reason they lost. But you know what I mean? Like, fourth quarter, that's usually tyranny time. And then they kind of choke you out. Maybe the shot clock's probably altered, you know, late game strategies for teams. But yeah, Duke just kind of just powered through that game, scoring, I believe, six of the eight goals of the in the final quarter, and just kind of just six of the nine goals, sorry, the final quarter, and just like stole a victory from the jaws of defeat. So congratulations to Danowski. You know, playing at home helped a lot, but you know. You know, Denver probably, you know, was going to think about this game a little bit at the end of the season. Like, they may have let one slip out of their fingers.
Denver got two saves and a double bagel from Ethan Walker. That's not a good recipe for success. Honestly, the fact that they could have won this game, despite the fact that they had two saves and the rest offensive player had one shot, one ground ball, one turnover, and one penalty. That's the stat line. I mean, that's impressive to a degree, I suppose. I don't know. I mean, like, look, I mean, on the one hand, you didn't play, you got nothing from the goalie, and your best offensive player did nothing either, and you were winning this game. But on the other hand, that doesn't bode well. Ethan Walker has not had a great start to the season. He was not great against Air Force either, so that's not good. On the other hand, I think the issue for Denver was, you know, this game, they controlled this game for three quarters when they won 9 of 13 at the faceoff X. Duke won 7 of 10 in the final period, and the offense exploded. You know, so Denver, you know, they were imposing their will to a degree for through three quarters. But when it got away from them, they really couldn't get it back. And, I don't know, usually Denver's a team. I know they got, you know, the goal late there, you know, to tie it up before Duke went down and won it. But, yeah, I don't know, without Trevor, you know, to kind of weather those storms, you wonder, and, you know, if Ethan Walker's, you know, struggling like this and, you know, having a double bagel day, you wonder if they're going to, you know, the ways that they've always been able to kind of counter runs like that, they weren't there on Saturday. Duke, I mean, this was a rough effort for the three quarters. They had four goals, and their offense looked troubling. But that explosion, I think, is what people expected. That looked like Duke in that fourth quarter. And I guess the question is that what we're going to see, you know, more for the rest of the season? Or was that, you know, a one-quarter kind of deal? Either way, they get the win, and that'll be a good win to have come the end of the season. And the fact that they were able to, you know, get that, pull that out, you know, and Joe Robertson had a big day, and he was a guy, you know, they were going to count on this season. That's good. But I do want to see, you know, whether or not this is, you know, Duke be here to stay, or whether this was kind of, you know, one thing they pulled out of their happy click pen this weekend. And at home, that'll be a tester. That will not be a easy sailing for them by any means.
All right, we'll continue with the Saturday slate. UNC continues their undefeated start to the season. They take down Harvard 16-11. A little bit of a late run for the Tar Heels helped seal the deal there against the Crimson. In a very entertaining one in Piscataway, Army beats Rutgers 10-9. So for the second year in a row, the Black Knights take down the Scarlet Knights. And that could be a big, big result come Selection Sunday. We shall see. Big games for both teams this week. Army will play Syracuse after a midweeker against Marist, and Rutgers will host Loyola, number one Loyola. So big game between these two, and big result for Army to get away with that. We'll touch on that in a little bit. The Penn State Murder Machine headed to Long Island and proceeded to steamroll Stony Brook 17-4.
They were up 11-0 at halftime.
Yes, like the other two games for Penn State. Yes, it could have been worse. So they're average. So they've now won games by 10, 17, and 13 for those keeping track at home. Vermont wins against Holy Cross 9-7. VMI gets their season started with this season opening win over Manhattan 11-10. So good on the Cadets to rack up a win very early in the season. Some positive momentum for them. And in an upstate New York battle, Colgate beats Binghamton 16-10. So the Red Raiders do not have a hangover from the Syracuse win. Take care of business against the Bearcats on the road. Rattle off a couple other ones real quick, too. Brown beats Quinnipiac 20-7. So the Bears start the season with the victory there. St. Joseph's beats Fairfield 21-10. St. John's goes up to Hartford and takes down the Hawks 18-10. And in a game that was pretty close, Hofstra beats Utah 14-10 in their matchup. Utah showed quite a bit of heart in that game, you know, for a first-year team. Not a bad result, but in the end, Hofstra comes away with the victory.
Army Rutgers was a distillation of pretty much every Rutgers loss for 4 years. Rutgers lost by one goal, giving up a goal with 4 minutes left in the game, in a game in which they turned the ball over 20 times and blew four clears. Army, perfect 18 of 18 on clears, only had 11 turnovers. That's your difference in the game. Another game that Rutgers is just, you know, all too familiar for them, you know? And these big kind of games, they just, you know, they find a way to shoot themselves in the foot. Give Army credit. You know, this is a very good, this is a really good Army team. Brendan Nickturn had a hat trick after his big day last week. A.J. Brettle made some big saves. Down the stretch, he had 13 total for the game. You know, no, it was a competitive game. It was, you know, Rutgers, as they've done, you know, as it happened with St. John's, you know, they gave up some runs. They gave up, you know, only had a 6-1 run at one point. Rutgers came back with a 6-2-1 of their own to tie it up. but, yeah, you know, it just a story for Rutgers, I'm afraid. You know, look, this was a better performance of them than it was against St. John's. Max Edelman came back in goal, had one of the better games of his career. He had 17 saves. Mullins and Beads did their thing, but give credit to Army. This, you know, the offense is much improved for them, and they have kind of maintained the, you know, elements of success that they've had before. They could be a threat this year.
And also, that's two very good road game wins for Army to start off the season. UMass and Rutgers are tough places to go to. And Black Knights came away with victories in both. You know, not the highest scoring team, but definitely much improved on offense. Brendan Nichtrin, right off the bat, 11 points to start the year as a freshman, too. So that's going to be huge for the Black Knights going forward. And, you know, they get a victory over Syracuse on the road. That's three very, very good road wins that if they could, you know, stem the tide in Patriot League play, they could be in the at-large conversation. And of course, that's a big if because the Patriot League is the Patriot League. But, you know, they could be in some pretty good shape with wins like that.
You know, the Patriot League is trash, for one. Two, who cares? It's February.
Yeah, that's true. But I think Army's building something pretty nice.
No, Army looks like a good team. I've been impressed by what I've seen from them so far. And, you know, we'll learn more on Saturday in the Carrier Dome. Penn State, Jesus Christ. They were up 15-0 at one point in this game. 15-0. This was the first time we got to see Penn State play this year. It's frightening. Like, I mean, it's they get whatever they want on offense every time they touch the ball. Whatever they want. Like, they run the same play where they would feed it into, you know, the high slot for O'Keefe, like, three or four times in a row, and they got it every single time. Just whatever they want to do to you on offense. And look, you know, I know Stony Brook is not the most imposing of competition, and I guess you could poke, you know, some questions about how tough their competition. Oh, I mean, so far, look, they beat Villanova, who went on to beat Yale, and they beat Robert Morris, who's a solid team. So, I mean, not like they played nobody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but, man, they just look... I mean, like...
Yeah, to see...
You kind of wonder how you're supposed to beat them.
Yeah,
like, they score all the time. They win face-offs. Like, Jerry Arcari won, you know, 6 of 7 in the first quarter and was 9 of, like, 13 in the first half. They've got several very good defensemen. Like, Colby Knies has the highest save percentage of any goalie in the country. Now, granted, I guess you could say, you know, how much work does he have to do? But still, there you go. Penn State is running up, you know, 15-0 on teams, and their goalie has the highest save percentage in the country. I'm not really sure what you're supposed to do against them.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's a good point with Villanova, too. Look at how bad they made Villanova look. And then the following week, Villanova beats Yale, which we'll get to in a little bit. The number one team in the nation, defending national champs. That's how good this Penn State team is, that potentially they could be making very good teams look awful. That's scary. And
he had 7 goals. Ament had 4 assists and a goal himself. I mean, it really was. Like, just watching them for the first time, you got why they're putting up these, you know, insane numbers. Because it's just like, they just, like, they get whatever they want. It's like, it's, they have whatever you're doing figured out. Like, you know, it's, they just, like, it's effortless. It really is effortless for them. And I mean... Look, we're going to find, like, they play Yale this weekend, and we'll, you know, preview that one, the pod, the next one in a few days. Man, I mean, it was just crazy to watch how easy they made it look for, I mean, just 15-0. And they scored 27 last week. It is insane. It is absolutely insane to watch so far.
As Saturday progressed, we moved on to Canisius, beat Mercer 13-10. So the Griffs get their first victory of the season in that one. Let's confirm that I'm right before we move on. Yep, that was their first win of the year as they take down Mercer. Princeton opened up their season in the New Jersey Route 33 Derby with a commanding 23-7 victory over Monmouth. So no scare like last year against the Hawks. Tigers will play UVA next week while Monmouth takes the trip on the Delaware River Bridge to take on Delaware. Speaking of Delaware, they took down NJIT 12-4, so the Hens with the victory there. Very intriguing one in Philadelphia. Penn almost pulls off the upset, but Maryland does enough to hang on, win the opening faceoff, and get the win in overtime, 13-12. So the Terps remain undefeated, survive the scare, and get the victory in OT. They do have an intriguing one tomorrow night against Colgate, but for the time being, Maryland gets that. Penn will have another shot in an upset next weekend as they head to Duke. In a battle of the three-way, Hobart beats Siena 22-12. So, roll Bart. They're looking pretty good on offense to start their season. They put up 22 against Siena, and they put up 21 against Canisius as well. So, Hobart's offense humming to start the season. Good one. It was one of intrigue heading into the weekend in Amherst, but Ohio State comes away with the victory 11-7. Buckeyes quietly racking up a solid start to the season with wins against Cleveland State, BU, and UMass. They are at 3-0. UMass with two tough losses to start the season against Army and Ohio State, respectively. They'll take on Harvard with a shot for their first win in the Mass Pike Derby. And the defending champion Yale Bulldogs open the season, unveil their banner and their new video board and all that in New Haven. They had to go up against Villanova, who they lost to last year to start the season. And what do you know? Once again, the Wildcats come and play spoiler. Villanova 11, Yale 10 in overtime. Nova with their second straight big upset win over Yale to start the season. As we said, Villanova got destroyed by Penn State, but rebounded very, very nicely against the defending champs, whereas Yale will start the year 0-1. And speaking of Penn State, that's who Yale's got to play next week.
I was a little bit surprised, Jake, with the Maryland-Penn game, because Maryland had been pretty strong at the faceoff. I think they were like 75%, I noted it in the Big Ten Lunch Club memo going into this game. Yeah, and this game, I mean, just 21-6. Just I've never, I didn't expect that going into this game. You know, it was Penn's first game of the season. Maryland just was playing so well at the faceoff.
I don't know who Penn's faceoff guy is. He wasn't on the team a year ago, and I think he's a transfer. I'd never heard of him, but he put a whoop in. Maryland put the third faceoff guy in at one point.
Yeah,
didn't matter. In spite of this, Maryland got the win, which I was pleased to see that. You know, like the offense was still able to put up good numbers, put up 13 goals on the road, in spite of the fact that they only won 6 faceoffs. Because so far, you know, the offense had looked solid, but they had the advantage of having a lot of the ball. But in this one, they didn't, you know, they played without the ball for much of this game and still were able to put up, you know, some solid numbers. Penn's got a solid, you know, team. You know, they dominated on faceoffs. They really dominated on ground balls. Adam Goldner, he was a good player for them. He had a solid day. You know, Simon Mathias, he was, you know, their number one guy a year ago. You know, Maryland is half a great team so far. The thing is that so far this year, being half a great team can still get you into the, you know, top five. You know, they are a work in progress. They struggled a bit, you know, in terms of the ride. That was one thing I noticed to me. It's like, if you're playing teams that, like Maryland, that like to play slow, I would 10-man ride the hell out of them. Because even if they beat it, you basically made them burn 15 to 20 seconds off the shot clock. And they're probably going to take another 10 to 20 seconds trying to go through, get their, you know,
subbing in the guys.
Subbing in, getting the flip. And then they're going with 40 seconds.
Yeah.
So you basically made them burn 40 seconds. Now, teams like Maryland and, you know, Denver's another one like that, you know, they move the ball so well that, you know, it won't be, and they have the ability to go faster when they want to, that it won't be, you know, as huge an issue for them. But there are some other teams out there, you know, like Lehigh was a team I saw that, you know, that, like, really, as mentioned earlier, you know, Matt struggled with the ride so much and anything's going that. If you play a team like, you know, Maryland or other teams that play, you know, that's slow, yeah, I would 10-man ride them. And make them, you know, shorten the window that they have to, you know, get goals. But no, probably half a great team so far. But I have seen a third of their points so far are from guys who aren't Bernhardt, Wisnowskis, or Fairman. I'd like that to be a bit higher, but it's still positive. Lewis Dubnyk had a hat trick in this game. Anthony DeMeo had a solid game as well. You know, I still think they need a sixth guy. They need to, they're still trying to figure out who the sixth guy is. But the top five, I know there was a question of, you know, who would be the guys outside of, you know, those three guys, Bernhardt, Wisnowskis, and Fairman. I think they've answered that. So, again, yeah, they're probably half a great team so far, but if there's anyone I can trust to turn half a great team into a great team, it's John Tillman. So,
Just to touch upon being half a great team, even though it doesn't look like a vintage Maryland team, the way this season's been starting off, that's a lot better than the alternative, and it's actually a good spot for them to be in, given where everybody else looks like at this stage.
Yeah, look, I mean, and they played, like, bad competition. Richmond's a good team. You know? Bucknell's a solid team. Penn is, this looks like, you know, a solid Penn team as well. So, and, you know, they got Colgate-Navy this week, so it is, I mean, they haven't played any of their, like, big rivals or out-of-conference, you know, opponents that they play every year, but this has still been not a cakewalk by any stretch, and they're getting through it, you know, and so, yeah, you know, it's early, but just win, you know, get your wins and then get better. Much easier to, you know, improve after wins than it is, you know, improve after losses and putting yourself behind the eight ball. Yeah, Villanova, Yale looked very early season, you know, just that's very much what it looked like for them. In the second half, they just really couldn't get anything going on offense. They made that push, you know, in the fourth quarter late, after they got down 10-7, but for a while there, they really didn't look like they could get much going. You know, the ball was kind of hanging in guys' sticks. They, you know, had some turnovers. Yeah, just could not quite get it going. I mean, it's something we mentioned, you know, Ben Leaves had like 115 points last year. I mean, yeah. Like, that's just, like, aren't there still great players on this Yale team? Yes. Well, those guys have good seasons. Yeah, but man, when you lose one guy who is that good, I mean, there is just a hole there. It's just, I don't care how many guys you bring back, and they brought back a lot of guys, and I'm not saying they should have been ranked number one or whatever, but it's just when you lose a guy who is, like, look, if Ben Reeves plays this game and they're having trouble and they don't know and no one else can get something going, they'll just throw it to Ben and he'll, you know, put three in by himself and there you go and it's fine.
Like, it's different with then Duke losing Gutterding. Like, Gutterding is an amazing player.
I think it's probably the same thing.
My point is just, like, with Duke you have, you know, other players who've had phenomenal type careers, like almost of the level of Gutterding, if not more. Zanowski is just,
yeah, like it's that kind of offense.
Yeah.
Ben Reeves was a generational talent that took his team to the national championship.
Yeah, no.
You know, it was a magical season, and now he's gone, and they have loads of weapons everywhere, and they got an elite faceoff guy in a transfer. But that's, you're absolutely right. You're losing a generational talent that took you guys to the championship, and whenever you were down two or three goals in a game, you're like, get the ball to Ben. He's going to get us a bucket. We'll get the face off again, and we'll just keep it moving. That's just not an option anymore. It's not as a guaranteed option because now Ben's gone. So you're just going to have to learn how to replace that. But you can't replace it. You have to rebuild something entirely different.
Yeah, I think right now it's just a little bit of an adjustment period for Yale. And I think also, you know, we kind of touch upon this every year, is that Yale's a little bit behind the eight ball being, you know, starting late as an Ivy, playing against teams that have already started to play, so they're not as fine-tuned. But, you know, they'll be fine going forward. We'll see against Penn State. I mean, the way Penn State's looking, there's going to be no shame if they lose that game. But I think right now it's just kind of tread water next week against Penn State, then get really start to, you know, get things going from there. Because the potential is definitely there. There's a reason why they were our preseason number one.
Look, TD did what they want him to do. He was as advertised. I think he won 18 of, you know, 25. So he did what they needed him to do. You know, they got 10 saves from Jack Starr. Not his best, effort, but, you know, still it was solid. I mean, the big issue for them was they had 7 turnovers in the third quarter, and, you know, Villanova put in 3 goals in that to take the lead. They were down, it was 5-5 at halftime, and Nova ended up, you know, Yale turned the ball over 7 times. See, it just looked like an early season kind of performance by them. And also, they also blew 4 clears. Just very, very much just early season is what it just looked like.
Yeah. So they'll be fine going forward, but yeah, I think at this point, though, you do have to give props to Villanova. The thing with Nova is, can they put it all together? Can they build off of this? We'll see, right. But, you know, good win for them.
Nova beat... Nova in 2017, Nova beat the national champion. Didn't make the NCAA tournament. 2018, Nova beat the national champion and finished the season. How did Nova finish the season last year? Nova finished season 2-4 last year, even though they beat the national champion. And now this year they beat the defending national champion. So I don't know. I don't want to, you know, bag on Nova. I don't like to really hate on any team, but. It is not like Nova has not gotten big wins before. Again, they beat Maryland in 2017, they beat Yale in 2018, they beat UNLV. I hope they do something with it, you know, but I mean, like, last year was the most successful Nova year in a while, and they still ended up getting dumped in the first round, like, 6 goals. So. But look, no, I mean, they got some dudes. Joey Picaro's a really good player, he had a hat trick. Keegan Conn's a really good player, he had a hat trick as well. And Connor Kearse, he had the OT goal. It ain't like this is a roster that is not talented, and hopefully, it's, you know, they can make the go of it this year.
Also, as I said, Ohio State putting together some solid wins to start the season, and I think road win against UMass is a very good step. You know, Cleveland State's very good for a young program, so that's not a bad, you know, victory to have a 12-9er. They look good against a BU team that put up a lot of points this weekend against Dartmouth. So, you know, the Buckeyes looking pretty solid, if not, you know, flashy, but they're getting the job done. They got some more quality win opportunities up ahead with Bucknell, Marquette, and Hofstra before they play Denver, Notre Dame in the Big Ten slate. So they could still get some solid non-con wins before they head into the meat of their schedule.
I would say it's never flashy. That's not their style. But Josh Kirschlam, he made 17 saves. Sean Scannell made 20 saves. So the save totals continue to be through the roof. Scannell made 20 saves, man. That's nuts. The Kirschlam, he's been fantastic for the Buckeyes so far. That was kind of an issue with him last year. Didn't really ever get consistent goalie play. For the Buckeyes, just, you know, look, they're never going to be particularly flashy. They're never going to be particularly, you know, amazing, you know, on the offense. That's not really their style. But when they're at their best, they got dudes, you know, who can do their thing. I think we've seen that so far. Trey LeClaire had 4 goals. Jack Jasinski had 2 goals and 2 assists. Those two guys have been great so far for them. Jeff Myers, he had 3 assists. You're starting to see, again, when Ohio State, they have some guys who can just great athletes that can, you know, take you to the rack and make you pay. I think that's what we've seen so far. And, you know, they've got the makings of what a great Ohio State team is. They've got a great goalie. They've got a really good combo at the faceoff backs. And they've got a few really darn solid players in the attack. This is what a really good Nick Meyers Ohio State team looks like.
All right, we'll wrap up Saturday's slate, including some big games. Up ahead, we start off with Air Force doubling up on Marist by a score of 12-6, so the Falcons get the victory there. Richmond beats Bucknell 13-11 in a very intriguing early season non-con game, so the Spiders get a victory there. They pretty good start to the season. They lose only by 1 to Maryland and then rebound with a victory on the road at Bucknell. So they're at 1-1, Bucknell at 1-2, but again, didn't look too bad in losses to Maryland or Richmond, so still keep an eye on the Bison. In the Charles Street Derby, Loyola heads to Homewood and comes away with the victory 18-12 over Johns Hopkins. So the Greyhounds, they're number 1 in the media poll and tied for 1 in our poll. back-to-back weeks with big wins. First beating Virginia.
Let's spoil it, Ryan. Well, just go ahead and spoil it.
I mean, you
it.
Spoiled the High Point game earlier. Whatever, but... Yeah.
Different thing.
Okay, whatever. So John's Loyola looks very, very good is the big point. And we'll wrap up Saturday's slate. Syracuse. All is not the worst for the Orange. They rebound pretty nicely. They beat Albany 13-5, so the Fire Desco crowd on the Syracuse.com comment section calms down a bit as they avenge their very bad loss to Albany last year with a very good victory there. They'll play Army next week to see what Syracuse team we're really going to get. And then in a Saturday night lacrosse game, Notre Dame beats Detroit Mercy 19-6. It was pretty close in the first half, but Notre Dame pulls away in the second half to get the victory there. So let's ask our resident Blue Jay, are you panicking now?
What's going on with that defense?
I don't know.
That's what I want to know. Like,
because that was supposed to be one of the strong suit. Yeah. Foley had a good close defense. Like Danny Jones at short stick. That was kind of going to be one of our areas of strength. I mean, we're obviously starting a new goalie, so I'm not trying to put it all on him. He actually had a decent day, Ryan Darby, with he didn't actually. 18 goals, a lot, obviously. But I mean, like, in terms of, like, if you just look at the stats, like him and Stover.
Well, I had 29 kinda, shots on goal.
Yes. Yeah. And like total
not
shots,
a good Darby day for Darby.
No, not at all. Total shots were exactly, you're right, they're the same, but like Hopkins had like five less shots on goals, but Stover, you know, he had like two more saves than Darby on the day. But it's just like Hopkins couldn't even clear the ball for a little while. They were only 8-15. They were just absolutely dreadful in the second half. 0-3 in the third quarter, 2-4 in the fourth, and 3-5 in the first quarter. Like, it's just not the way to do it against a team like Loyola that can get up and down the field really quickly. Yeah, they lost their Foster Huggins from last year, their best, one of the leaders into all of NCAA and calls turnovers. But that's Loyola's ball game. That middle 50% of the field that they can cause you to turn over, they can quickly turn on offense, and you can just look at the way they score in bunches. Like Loyola scoring two goals within 30 seconds to a minute of each other is not unheard of. Hopkins rarely would have two goals in a row, let alone ones within that short of a time period. And you kind of just feed that beast when you're turning the ball over and you can't even get it into the offensive end. So, I mean, we're just bad. It's going to be another sad Thursday night Big Ten Lunch Club memo.
Scoring 12 goals against Loyola is pretty good. I mean, they had six in the first half. Marr had a hat trick. Joey Epstein had two goals and three assists. So they're developing a really good attack with Epstein, Marr, and Cole Williams. They need something from the midfield for sure. That's a problem. But I think that'll be fine. The question is the defense. Like, they brought back pretty much everyone from last year's team. And that was a really, really, really darn good defense. It was the thing that, you know, got them to the quarterfinals and made them, you know, win the Big Ten tournament. And, I mean, like, it was a rough start. And you know, they gave up five goals in the span of, like, 5 minutes. And they kind of settled it down, you know, in the second quarter, late in the first one for a good bit there. And then Loyola scores six goals in the first 10 minutes of the third quarter, and that's it, the game's over.
That second week in a row. Second week in a row, getting the doors blown off to begin the second half. Uh-huh. Like, absolutely. Get curb stomped by Towson, and then Loyola does it again a week later.
Yeah, that is a bit of a concern, but I think, you know, we've been talking about that this upcoming three-game stretch could be a good period for Hopkins. Three winnable road games at UNC, at Princeton, at Syracuse. There's a little bit of throw the record books out with the Syracuse game, but even still, you know, I don't think it's time to totally panic yet, but...
UNC, I don't think UNC is a great defensivist. I think Hopkins has a shootout. Hopkins can win. Look, man, That Princeton attack unit is pretty darn great. I mean, that's one of the best attack units in the country. And Syracuse and the Cary don't... I guess that's maybe... Syracuse isn't a great offensive team, so that's kind of... I guess, yeah. I mean, they're all... They're better matchups than Towson and Loyola were, for sure. Like, it is a nice matchup kind of friend. Like, Towson and Loyola were not good matchups. And Carolina, Princeton, and Cuse are more in the good matchups. And if you can get past that, you get Mount and Delaware and Virginia at home after that. But I give 35 goals the first 2 weeks. That's just... That's rough. I mean, like, you want to say, like, Ryan Darby, like, you know, hasn't had a great start. He's faced 61 shots. I mean, like, that's just, there's only so much you can do.
We're just always on defense. It's a, especially
yeah,
the game
they
against,
are on defense a lot.
It's extended periods of time where the offense doesn't even get a good set. Let alone a good shot off. We can't even get the ball over the midfield line against Loyola, literally twice in the entire second half. Like, you know, shout out to the kid for even stopping the 12 goals that, so 12 shots that he did. Because, you know, with Loyola being as accurate as they are, and a player like Pat Spencer, they could easily have gotten to their 20s. And you know, just, even if we get this three-game road trip, that's good, fine, but, you know, getting blown off by what looks like elite talent in Loyola and, like, at least a top seven team in Towson is not encouraging.
I mean, they were 7 of 28 on faceoffs against Towson, and they were, I think, I don't know what the total was, 7 of 28 against Towson. I mean, they won against Loyola.
We won this one, but it was very slight. It was like 16 to 14 or something like that.
The problem was the defense just didn't get... So it's like you caused one problem, you figured. Like against Towson, you finally won some faceoffs. But then here the defense just didn't get stops. And I guess...
And turnovers too, Jake. Right? I mean, like last week's against bad against Towson. This 16. One wasn't as bad. Yeah, the margin wasn't as bad, but giving up 16 turnovers is
look,
just
here's
not...
the issue. They blew 7 clears. Now yeah. all of them were yeah. in the. They went 2 of 7 on clears in the second half.
It was absolutely dreadful.
So
absolutely,
and a lot of their stuff, I guess, seems to be around the like there are things around the margins they can clean up. That I believe they will clean them up, and that means that I don't think they're going to be getting their doors blown off, you know, as often. But still, like, that defense has just been, they've been abused. Like, they just flat out. And that's not a good sign. And so.
Speaking of very bad, no good days, Albany.
Yeah, they look terrible.
That was a bad game. Yeah, I thought they would have a chance in this one. It was just after the first quarter, Syracuse just didn't even give him a chance to breathe.
Yeah.
Shout out to Bradley Voigt, you know, coming out with the big 6 goals. Brendan Curry had a couple, and Nate Solomon had one. But Albany pretty much was non-existent on the offensive end, only scoring one goal in the second quarter, and then. Another goal in the fourth to finish with 5 in total after scoring 3 in the first quarter. So just a bad night in general just for the Danes.
Yeah, encouraging to get some more scoring. Great to see Voigt getting involved for the Orange. Defense looked good. I mean, I still don't know if that's like a true indicator of this Syracuse team just because of just Albany did not look great. I think Army's going to be the best indicator to see if they really rebounded from the Colgate game, but encouraging signs for the Orange. But
well,
yeah.
I mean, look, they look like what you'd expect Syracuse to be this year. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Like, you watched this game and you saw that's a good team, you know? So I think they're going to be a good team, you know? It doesn't mean all their issues are automatically fixed, but
right.
Look, Bradley Voigt had 6 goals, and Brendan Curry had 4 goals, and Brendan Curry looks like, I mean, he looks, or Curry didn't have 4 goals, I think. hate the way they do these scoreboards, because it makes you think, like, they have, like, they could, in the parentheses, it's like their season total instead of their total for the game, and so it confuses me. Curry has, like, 5 goals for the season, but he had 2 goals in the game. It's just so confusing.
Yeah, Curry has 5 goals, 4 assists, and Voight has 6 goals, 2 assists.
Yeah, Voight's 6 goals were all in this game.
We're all in this game, yes.
Yes, Curry's, because it's just confusing. So, yeah, I mean, like, the fact that you had guys step up, like that's what got Syracuse through last year. Like, that's what got them to the ACC going 4-0, was that they just had different guys step up and have big days. Even if they didn't have an obvious number one guy, they had guys step up and have big days. Today was Voight, he put in 6 goals. Well, Curry looks something. I don't know if he's is he Kevin Rice or JoJo Marasco or, you know, Kenny Nims? No. But he does look like maybe a guy who can be, you know, a good number one guy for that. Maybe not number one guy on, you know, a top 5 team, but on a top 10-ish team, maybe. And so, I think, look, they look good. Like, I mean, they comfortably took care of this game.
And also encouraging, real quick before we get into Albany, also encouraging sign for Syracuse, their riding looked a lot better than against Colgate.
Oh, yeah, like Colgate, they had just a lot of issues around the, just kind of the edges. I mean, like, what, the ground, they abused Albany on ground balls, 44-24. Syracuse, I mean, they were physical in this game. It was one of the, you know, Syracuse, I think it has an issue in the last couple of years of kind of getting, kind of just roughed up a bit, you know, and kind of not looking ready to, you know, when teams have come ready to, you know, really be physical with them. I think they've had some problem with that. They were physical against Albany in this one. That helped them a lot. Yeah, you know, they could issue 26-29 on clears, only 10 turnovers. And 44 ground ball. So they fixed up the issues around the edge that cost them against Colgate, which is the reason I think they lost. And they look more like what you would expect this team to look like. And so, look, we'll learn more. I mean, like, if they can, you know, get to Army, I think we'll know for sure this team will be fine this year. Especially since Army looks like a really good team. You know, the Albany, there was just nothing. There was just nothing here. It just.
And they look frustrated the whole game, too, which is not a great sign. Their body language as the game progressed looked... I don't want to go into all sports psychology of it all, but...
I mean, look, they had a... I mean, they scored two... Albany had 2 goals in the first 3 minutes of this game, and then 3 goals the rest of the way. They just... I mean, the ball just was stuck into Hoka's stick for most of the game, and I'm not blaming him, because I don't really know what else he was supposed to do. No one else could do anything. You know? They just looked... they looked like a team that lost their goalie and their face-off man and their defenders
and their best
attackmen and on and on and on.
Yep.
That's what they look like. They look like a team that's lost...
Coaches.
Yeah. They look like a team that got as pillaged as any team I can recall in a long time. I can't recall a team... They lost as much as, I guess, maybe the Brown team a couple years ago, the year Lars left, year after Lars left.
Mm-hmm. That was the only one, yeah, exactly.
The only guy left was Dylan Malloy.
And that's it.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was, I mean, like, that's what it looked like. Like, they just, I mean, look, we'll see. The question for them is going to be, you know, like, America East play, and once they get into that. Because, I mean, against the teams on their, the top teams on their schedule that they have been competitive with, in years past, I don't see them being competitive with them this year. I don't see them being competitive with Maryland when they get to that game. Or Yale. Question will be: is this roster still good enough to win the
America East? Yeah, it's going to be a question of did the rest of the America East catch up to Albany now that Albany's in a little bit of a downslope. That's going to be the big key for the Great Danes.
Yeah, I mean, again, no, I don't believe they have the roster to compete with the, you know, teams that they've pushed on their schedule and beaten. I mean, they beat Yale, Syracuse, and Maryland all in the last 2 years, I believe. That was a testament to how good they were the last 2 years, but now they're clearly in a rebuilding cycle.
And then tonight we had a special bonus Monday night game, and if you thought that Maryland might have turned the ship around after beating Lehigh, how about High Point was their win against
Virginia? Duke of Fluke?
Yeah, Virginia. And if you thought the High Point's win against Duke was a fluke, no, it was not. High Point 14, Virginia 13. High Point with their second midweek victory over an ACC school on the road this season. And don't look now, but the Panthers are 4-0 with two wins against ACC schools plus a shutout, even though it was, you know, first game for a program, even still a shutout's a shutout. Panthers looking like that team that nobody wants to play the first weekend of the tournament.
Well, look.
Shout out.
There are going to be things I point out that I think people are going to take as, like, negative. I don't want to rain on the parade. Like, look, give him credit. Like, just no doubt about it. He beat Duke and Virginia on the road in the first month of the season. Or not even month. I mean, first, what, 16 days of the season?
Yeah.
You deserve all the praise in the world. There is no, you know, there is no question or doubt about that whatsoever. If you can do that, you deserve all the praise in the world. Asher Nolting, that guy is a stud. I mean, that dude can play on any team in the country. He is an absolute beast. Chris Young is a really good player as well. Look, there are things about the team. Like, defensively, they can certainly be got. They turn it over too much, I think. They're a little bit too much sloppy to compete with maybe the best team, like the absolute best teams in the country. Because, you know, look, you're talking like tournament, like if they play a top seed. Like, if they played a 1 or 2 or 3, I think these are things that might hurt them. But, look, the bottom line is, if you can, look, they can score. They put up 55 goals in their first four games. They've got talent that can, I mean, look, the offensive talent they've got, no one in the SoCon has. No one in the SoCon has the offensive talent they do. Like, Nolting is an ACC player. I mean, Big Ten player. That guy is a first-team all-conference player in those conferences. No one else in the SoCon or anything like that guy. And Tim Trautner Jr. is a machine. I mean, that dude is a senior now. I mean, he saves 57%, but he faces just so many shots.
Yeah.
And he, I mean, stuffed what, I think.
55 saves, 36 goals allowed. So he gets a lot of shots, but he's on him, but he saves a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
and I think that's the recipe going forward. That's going to be very good for High Point. If you have an elite attackman and a great goaltender, that is
that's
success.
That's the thing. Like, that's the thing is that they have elite talent at some key positions. Again, there are parts of them that you look at, and you know, again, like if you're talking, you know, like because look, I mean, naturally, you beat Duke and Virginia, people are going to want to be like, what's the ceiling? Well, I think these are just things I look at. Again, the concert, they had a lot of, you know, some just forward turnovers. They certainly can be scored on, but look, you got an elite goalie, and you got an elite attackman, and you got several other good players as well. Like, and again, they beat Duke and Virginia. Like, I mean, you look at their schedule. The rest, are they going to be an underdog in any game the rest of the way? Like, look at that schedule.
Yeah, no, I would say
St.
no.
St. John's, Robert Morris, UMBC, all at home, at VMI, at Jacksonville, Furman, Air Force, at Mercer, at Bellarmine, and Richmond. I don't think they're an underdog in any game the rest of the way.
Yeah, if maybe Richmond if things progress, but even that's at home, though. But that's at home, you'd give them the nod as the favorite against Richmond, too.
I think the closest would be, like, 2-point favorite against Richmond. You know what I mean? Like, maybe Richmond keeps it close, but they would still be favored in that one to win at home. No, they should do well. Obviously, the SoCon... Well, we have some surprises. You know, like, High Point is a surprise. I don't think anyone expected them to beat both Duke and UVA this year. So, but your point is absolutely right. Like, the way that they're playing right now with top 10 level talent, you know, in terms of, like, top 10 in the nation player-wise, like, Asher Nolan, I think he's top 5 or 6 in points per game and assists point game. And Troutner's like a top 5 goalie in the country as well.
No, like after Sowers and Spencer and Teat, I don't know if there's anyone better than Nolting. Like, no one clear I could say, yeah, they're better than that guy. And I don't know, and as far as goalies go, I don't know if there's anyone playing better than Troutner. And so, yeah, that's a mean bunch. Virginia, we need to have a talk here.
a dialogue.
We have a dialogue. In Lars Tiffany's first 35 games of Virginia, he's 20-15. In Dom Starch's last 35 games of Virginia, they got him fired. He was 19-16.
Yeah, this is going to be a critical stretch with Princeton and Syracuse on the road up ahead.
This team is not... They are not better than they were in the end of the Starch era. they're not better. I know people want them to be better. I know people get googly-eyed, you know, the system and the up and down and the talent. They are not better. It's just, that's as simple as I can put it to you. They're not a better team. Their defense is just, it's bad. I mean, their shorties are horrible. High Point ran by their shorties all day, just like Loyola did. No one could guard Nolting. And I'm not saying that, you know, you necessarily, that's, look, Nolting's a great player. But if you want to be an elite team, you got to have a defenseman who can guard someone's number one attack. And they don't have it. They had no one who could guard Nolting. He had his way. And then it's just, I mean,
Michael Krause pretty quiet. He usually has a pretty good game against High Point. He had a 7-7 the last two games were both UVA wins, but only one assist tonight. Really quiet night for him on seven shots. You know, it wasn't like it wasn't at all part of the offense. He had one less shot than Ian Laviano, who had four goals on the night.
18 turnovers, and again late in the game. Where, you know, you want to see UVA. That was a question, you know, can UVA put games away? They had the lead in this fourth quarter. They couldn't do it.
And I'll give them credit because, like, they have been getting better on turnovers. Like, they had a much better turnover rate than Loyola in their first game. Same thing against Lehigh. This one, I think they had, like, 8 or 9 less turnovers than High Point, but still didn't end up being a...
It's just the timeliness of them. Like, yeah. Late in the game, when they got a stop 2 or 3 times, they just turn it over right down the field when they had a chance to tie the game up or take the lead. You know, like, they had one where I think they were down one, and they got a stop, and then they couldn't even clear it, and they turned it over, and High Point came back and got a goal. You know, I mean, it's just the timeliness of them. And it's, again, couldn't put the game away. I don't know, they... Look, the same things that we saw last year that made them a first-round exit team, they have not been fixed. I mean, it's... Again, I know people want it to be, like, better than it was, but it's not. I mean, look, they are... In their last 15 games, they're 8-7. After a 4-0 start to last year, where they beat Loyola, Drexel, High Point, and Princeton in the month of February. Since March of last year, they are 8-7. And their wins are over Stony Brook, Dartmouth, Richmond, North Carolina, Vermont, Syracuse, VMI, and Lehigh. It's not good. I mean, it's just, it's not. Like, yeah. They're not, they don't look like a... I look, again, give High Point credit, all the credit in the world. They've got talent. They, you know, they run their off, they know what they're doing. They're a well-coached team. Credit to John Torpe. He's done a great job with that program. Again, they will be a threat to someone if they play them, you know, come tournament time if they get there. And look, I mean, if Virginia does turn this around, personally looking at it right now, I don't see it. I mean, look, if your shorties are getting abused by High Point, I don't know what's going to happen against Princeton. And as good as Asher Nolting's fantastic, you can't guard Asher Nolting. I don't know what you're going to do against Michael Sowers. So, and then, you know, and then you got to go to the Carrier Dome. After that, so, but I mean, High Point's certainly building themselves potentially a good, you know, at large resume as well, even though, I mean, right now they look like just the class of the SoCon, sure, but yeah, the UVA just it has not improved. It just in the macro over the course of these 2 years and so far, the program with Lars Tiffany has not improved from where it was, and no one's talking about it because, again, people like the style and they get googly eyed at it. And, you know, and like the expectation was that Virginia would hire Lars Tiffany and Virginia would become, you know, the Virginia of old again. It hasn't happened.
Yeah, for a little bit of a teaser of later in the week, we'll get a little bit more in depth of how critical this upcoming stretch will be for Virginia. But we'll save that for the next one. How about we go into the polls? Because that's a fun talking point. And in the media poll, Loyola's number one. In the college cross poll, it gets a bit fun. Jake, if you want to take it away as you run our poll.
Sure. Let's do it. This was not as much of a mess as last week's was, but we still had some room. So, yes, Loyola and Penn State are tied for first in the college cross top 20. Me, Ryan, and Skyler voted Penn State number one. Adam, Chris, and Safe all went with Loyola. I don't know if you guys know, but either one's fine. I really don't think
yeah.
that is a bad choice.
Yeah, both teams have a legitimate shot. I would have
made them both 1A and 1B if I could. You know, I had to just rank them there.
Yeah, they're both the best two teams in the nation right now, and it's not really... It's sort of close because Maryland, you know, is going to be better as the year progresses, but as it stands right now, it's Penn State, Loyola, and then everybody else.
Yeah. Penn State's, like, literally pulverizing teams, and Loyola, it's just making top 10 preseason teams look like, you
they
know...
They both look...
High school teams.
Formidable. And look, good thing is, I mean, Loyola goes to Rutgers this week, and Penn State goes to Yale, and so, I mean, look, they could both... Look, they will be favored in both games, and if they both look, we might be stuck in the same place. But the thing is, we are going to see them play great teams. Either one's fine. We had a tie at the top. Both teams are great. Maryland was unanimous at number three. Again, I think that's totally fine. You know, they are winning games. Other teams are, you know, getting upset or getting blown out in some cases. They're finding ways to win. Fourth was Cornell. Cornell featured... fourth on 5 of 6 ballots. I don't know what's... Honestly, I mean, it's not that I don't want to rank them. I'm just bothered with the fact that it's February 18th and they haven't played yet. Yeah.
The Big Red have learned that the best way not to lose is not to play. The only way to win is to not play. But yeah, they should play, sure, at least with the rest of the Ivy this past week or something.
Really? Duke moved back up to 5 with the win over Denver. They were featured 5th on 5 of 6 ballots. 6th, Towson, they got a win. And with, you know, other teams losing, we're able to slide up a bit. 7th is Yale. They lost, obviously, to Villanova, but did not take a huge drop. Everyone still had Yale in their top 10. Adam was a little worried at 10. Skyler kept them at 4. But the Bulldogs not fall. Ohio State 8th, you know, just racking up quality wins. Georgetown is 9th. The Hoyas would be higher, except, unsurprisingly, Ryan has them at 14th. Everyone else has Georgetown. Oh, Chris has them at 11th.
I mean, Georgetown's looking solid. I don't know if they're top 10 just yet. And, I mean, we are much higher than the media poll, who has them at 18. But, you know, they got a solid... They have solid wins. They're going to make their way up.
If 18 seems a little... I mean... 18?
Really? Yeah, media poll has them at 18.
Seems a little harsh. Notre Dame is 10. Fighting Irish, solid win. The high rank on Notre Dame is Skyler at 7. Denver is 11th. They were 6th last week. Pardon me. They dropped 5 spots. The high vote on Denver is Skyler at 8. Army moved up to 12. Resume-wise, you could argue higher. Adam has the 9th. They have been one of the big jumps. I don't know if any of us had Army in the top 20. In our top 20s before the year, they looked really solid score. Virginia was 13th.
Yeah, they're going on the elevator shaft
surprised.
Down.
I'd be surprised if they were ranked after this. We will see. Michigan was idle. They are 14th. Safe is the high vote on Michigan at 9. Colgate is 15th. Is everyone... Ryan still is not ranked Colgate.
Yeah, I had them 21. If it weren't for Villanova's win over Yale,
21.
They would have been...
The most backhanded compliment in lacrosse.
No. If it weren't for Villanova, they'd be in my top 20. Villanova screwed that up, so...
I have you 21. There's only 10 good teams in the country. Not even, probably. I have you 21. Very backhanded compliment. Colgate plays my own tomorrow. Navy is 16th. Navy has moved... No, Chris still is not ranked Navy. So I thought the midshipmen had moved into the top 10 on everyone's ballot, but they have not. The high vote on Navy is Adam at 13. High point 17. Obviously, they will climb even further.
Yep, they're going
I had
down
them
the
18. Ryan, Adam had them 20th. The high vote was Skyler at 11, which certainly looks much better now.
He predicted the future.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Rutgers stayed in the top 20. I think that's fair. You know, a one-goal loss to a good team like Army at home is by no means a bad result. But they did drop out of the top 20 for Adam and Scott. So Adam and Scott had them drop. High vote on Rutgers is Safe at 15. Villanova moves in 19th. I know there was some debate. I've seen Villanova ranked as high as 5th. I don't know. I mean, in hindsight, I ended up, in hindsight, I probably should have ranked them. But I don't know. I mean, it was a good win, but, you know, they did get blown out by 10. I know it was to Penn State still. But, you know, we'll see with them. Nova, if they can rack up one or two more wins, I'll certainly expect to see, you know, consensus and everyone have them in their top 20. High vote on Nova is 14th, or high vote on Nova is 15th with Adam. And then 20th, back in, or no, 20th is Princeton, who was in the top 20 last week. I think they dropped a few spots. I mean, the bottom of the top 20, last four or five spots is very muddled. None of these teams in the back, you know, three or four spots were, you know, there was no real consensus on all of them. So yeah, the two teams that dropped out, Hopkins and Albany, Villanova and Navy are two teams who jumped into the top 20. And so, but playing more big games coming up this week, that will hopefully maybe clear the picture up a bit more.
Yeah, I think right now it's still a bit muddled, but I think we'll have a clear picture next week. Even if we have some upsets, I think it'll still be a bit more clear of seeing where teams slot in. Like, even though it was an upset tonight, I think that gives a lot more clarity of where High Point is and where Virginia is.
Yeah, I mean, look, next week. You get Yale, Penn State, so that'll prove some things. Loyola, Rutgers. You got Maryland Navy. Maryland's got Colgate Navy. If Maryland can put them two wins over there, that suddenly becomes a pretty solid looking resume, you know, early in the year. You know, Duke plays Penn. You know, Towson, Georgetown.
That's a good one. Maryland,
that's gonna be a great matchup.
Yeah, it's gonna be really good.
Two teams there. You know, Carolina and Syracuse both just.
I'll really start getting 2017 vibes if.
Georgetown, yeah, that'll be a big one. Then, you know, Army Cuse, like Cuse and UNC were both just outside of the top 20. The last, like, between Cuse, UNC, Princeton, Nova, I mean, it was like, and Rutgers too, is, you know, razor thin in terms of those. It's like Army Cuse, like, if Cuse can, you know, get a win over Army, I would expect to see them climb up well into the, you know, just outside the top 10. I mean, honestly, if Towson could beat Georgetown, I would not be surprised to see people maybe move them up into the top five. And then, of course, look, Loyola and Penn State both have, you know, tough games, you know, not games. I wouldn't be shocked if either of them lost, you know, and not to get too far ahead of ourselves, you know, but still. So, yeah, there'll be a bit more clarity this week.
If Towson wins, I'd put them in my top. I mean, like, even if Duke won, I think, like, Towson, you could argue, would have a better resume. They smoked Hopkins, like, did what they had to do against Mount St. Mary's, and then beat another top 10 quality team, at least on our poll, in Georgetown. So it'll be a really good weekend. Ryan, yeah, you made a good point. A lot of good old-timey non-con rivalries this weekend.
Yeah, and as I said, I think that, and it helps us with slotting teams around. Like, I think Army Syracuse is a good one for, you know, the back end of the top 20. I know it gets affected a bit by tonight's game, but Virginia Princeton could help us out with slotting them around. Rutgers, how they perform against Loyola can help us get a little bit of clarity. UNC, especially, too, when they go up against Hopkins. You know, is Hopkins still going to be a top 20 team? If they get a victory there, they could get themselves back in. If North Carolina beats them, you know, it's not going to skyrocket them like it would in prior years, but that will help solidify UNC as a top 20, top 15 team. So I think this week with these, it's a good way of slotting teams. I think right now it's still a bit ambiguous. I know we're still a little bit all over the place with some teams. I think we can get a better idea of where to slot teams after this weekend's completed.
Yeah, I mean, there are other teams, you know, I'm really kind of, there are some teams, you know, and again, we're getting closer to, you know, where teams start to play, like, quality competition, you know, like Michigan this week, they played Drexel at Jacksonville, not the toughest competition, but still some decent teams, and I We've only seen Michigan play once. Like, I'm pretty much ranking Michigan solely just based off of
potential. Yeah, that's how I know with Michigan is their potential.
I mean, potential in my irrational DMs about the Wolverines.
No, like, I think they're going to be an NCAA tournament team. I said that before the year, but they've played one game. Like, that's all. I mean, look, Cornell is
still hasn't played anybody.
Fourth and hasn't played a game. I mean, Cornell is going to play like at Hobart, home to Lehigh.
I mean, Hobart, though, to be fair, has been putting up goals in bunches, so that could be a decent
fairness
test.
To Hobart, yeah. Hobart is 2-0, and it scored 43 goals. So, yeah, you know what? That actually isn't it. That will be an interesting game. You know.
Finger Lakes Derby.
Yeah, I mean, they play Lee, and then they play Lee. Cornell's schedule. They don't start till February 22nd, and then they play two games in 3 days. All right, you know. If you want to do it, if that's
what
Cornell plays like three games in 8 days from or like March 8th to March 16th, or they got a game March 8th at Penn State, or they play in that tournament. Penn State March 8th, Towson March 10th, Yale March 16th, St. Bonaventure March 19th. Like, Jesus, guys.
And of course, the midweek game against Syracuse in the middle of Ivy League play. Give my regards to Davey. We really like the screwy schedule. Da, 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 da.
All right, let's get to these midweek.
Yeah, so we got a couple Tuesday nighters coming up this week. So some midweek games in between our podcast episodes. All these are Tuesday nighters, and it'll start off in the afternoon at 3. There's a trio of games. Marist at Army, West Point at 3. So the lower Hudson River Derby. In that one, lower Hudson
lower
River Valley
Hudson
Derby.
River Derby.
Poughkeepsie versus West Point. Metro North Line. Drexel at Michigan at 3. And BU at Sacred Heart in a New England battle at 3. ESPN Plus is the place to be at 4 as UMBC takes on Richmond. That could be a interesting test for Richmond there. Good one at 5. Colgate at Maryland. I think that will be on BTN to go plus. I'm not 100% sure. Or even if there is streaming, I don't see it yet. But 5 p.m., that could be a good one. If Colgate could get a second road upset, that could be a launch pad for them.
Would you finally rank them in that case?
Yes. Well, as I said, if it weren't for Villanova, they would have been ranked.
Oh, wow. 21. Just the ultimate reward.
And hey, and if they, and even if they lose this one and Syracuse wins, they're still going to be ranked ahead of Syracuse. They're going to be a package deal.
They're not ranked, Brian. You don't have them ranked at all.
I know, but Syracuse isn't ranked either, so.
Unbelievable.
So,
unbelievable.
Holy Cross at UMass Lowell. It's all Massachusetts all the time, 6 p.m. in that one. Canisius at Furman at 7. Lafayette at Manhattan at 7 as well. Lafayette has a shot at going to 3-1, as we said, and spent way too much time, as Jake said a couple episodes ago. But it might actually come true. So any quick points on the Tuesday slate?
From Maryland Colgate, I hope, and let's see if the Terps can get, you know, improve, get better. You know, that'll be a test. And if they can, you know, get, you know, solid one there, and, you know, 2-3 goals, something like that, would make me feel, you know, confident in them. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, Michigan-Drexel put up a really good effort in 5-point.
That's the game I was like, yeah, Drexel looked good offensively. And you can't just say, oh, High Point, because High Point is the darling of D1. That was obviously a pretty good effort by the Dragons. Kind of maybe let that one slip away. They were, up 11-9 at halftime, able to put into overtime. But, yeah, they, good effort, but you got to win. But I think that they played well enough that they should give Michigan an interesting game. And, especially if they have, good efforts by, Reed Browering and Marshall King and Matthew Varian. Especially King and Varian, who were two second team All-CAA last year, so it's good to see them get off on the right foot on the first game of the season.
Not a bad
Tuesday slate at all. I think that Drexel-Michigan game is going to be good. Drexel, you know, that one goal loss to High Point looks better and better with each passing game, too.
It looks great.
Yeah. and as I said, you know, Michigan, that's a good test for Michigan. We still are going a bit off of potential with Michigan, and if they could get past Drexel, they're going to be looking solid. So that's going to be a very good under-the-radar Tuesday nighter, I think.
That's even more impressive for High Point. Like, they played an overtime game
two days ago in Philly.
Yeah. And then I guess they went home, or maybe they traveled straight to Charlottesville. But, like, 2 days later, they're playing the Cavs at Klockner. So, that makes their start even, you know, that much more satisfying if you're a fan of the Panthers.
And that'll conclude our first episode of the week. Later this week, most likely Wednesday night, we'll record our get you all set for the big non-con rivalry weekend of lots of intrigue and lots of hopefully clarity coming to the table. After this week, we'll also recap all of tomorrow night if you're listening with the post tonight's games and recap those. There's plenty of ways to connect to us. We're on Facebook at College Cross, and you can follow all of us on Twitter. I'm at RyanMcD29.
I'm at Jake_Nazar. Still not tweeting about the cross, but maybe you can rope me into it.
Just go to the comments.
Go to the comments section. Leave us some comments. We need some love on that.
I'm dying.
And I am at Erie_Barrister.
CollegeCross.com, the one place where you want to go to the comments section. Yes, collegecross.com for all your news analysis. Great features from all of us on the College Cross crew. We're all pitching in with some great content, so be sure to read it.
Ryan, all you and me do is talk on these podcasts.
I know. Well, I put up the post for the podcast. You put up the post for the polls.
No, I mean, it's not that we do nothing. I'm just saying, you know, safe and...
Yes, save Chris.
Safe and Chris carry the load.
Yes, they carry the big load. And pitches in sometimes. And Skyler with his great women's coverage as well.
He's our big hitter on our podcast. First off, shout out to everyone listening to our podcast.
We want to give it a quick thanks. Our numbers to start the season have been phenomenal. We couldn't do it without you guys.
I have no clue where it came from.
Yeah,
honest to God.
It's usually just jokes into the ether. It really makes us feel great, and thank you for all the support.
Yeah, and thanks for spreading it around. Thanks to all the other media outlets that have been, you know, spreading the word as well. We have a lot of fun doing it, and it's great to see us, you know, putting in some big numbers. And I think one of the ways that we're getting big numbers is accessibility. You could subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play, whether you have iOS or Android, doesn't matter to us. We love both. You can follow us on Podomatic, and I think the big thing that's helping to spread the word, we're on Spotify. Follow us on Spotify when you're sick of listening to the Today's Hits playlist that plays nothing but crap from 2017. Switch it over to us, and you'll be able to listen to every College Crosscast episode there. So thank you again for all your support. We'll be back in a couple days to get you set for the weekend and to recap the Tuesday nighters. And we thank you for listening once again. And of course, stay hydrated.
Happy President's Day.